Okay, so I need everybody under the age of 35 to listen to me very closely. Back in the day, there was a thing called radio. I'm just curious, has anybody never listened to a radio before? Okay, one. Okay, I'm not surprised. So here's the deal. If most of you under 35, I'm going to explain this to you, but like back in the day, this is how we used to do it. If I was listening to a song on the radio that I just like, wow, the song on the radio is the greatest song ever, then, and if I wanted you to hear that, then what I'd have to do is I'd have to go to our landline phone and I would call you and you'd have to be home. And then here's what I would say to you. I'd say something like, turn on the radio. The greatest song ever is playing right now. Now, if I just delivered that information to you on the other end of the phone, here's what actually could likely happen. You would go turn on your radio, and I would be listening to the greatest song of all time, and you would be maybe listening to the Macarena or a polka medley. If you like polka, I'm not seeking to offend anybody. I'm just saying, the greater point is that if I just said to you, turn on the radio, the greatest song of all time is on, I could be listening to the greatest song of all time. You might be listening to the Macarena and thinking, Brian has got the worst taste in music ever. What's up with that guy? You can't just say, turn on the radio and listen to this thing. Like everybody that is over the age of 35 knows that I have to give you a specific piece of added information, and that would be this. Hey, turn on your radio and turn the dial too. And then I would list out some numbers. And I would say something like, turn the dial to 98.5, which was a frequency that a particular station, 98.5, regarding their content and their programming and the songs they're putting their content out on the frequency of 98.5. And then once you turned your dial to 98.5, then I'm listening to the greatest song of all time, and you're tuned in with me, and you are also listening to the greatest song of all time. But in order for that equation to happen, in order for us to meet and be listening to the same song, we have to be tuned in to the same radio frequency. Now, Matthew chapter 11, Jesus essentially is saying to people, everyone who's listening, he's saying, y'all are not tuned in to my Father's frequency. My Father is sending out a signal, and it's on 98.5. And if you could tune into it, so good. But your radio dials are tuned in to some other numbers that reflect another station that's giving and delivering a whole different set of content, which is causing you to be on a different wavelength or a different frequency than God is on and is inviting us all to join him in. This is how Jesus says it in Matthew 11, verse 16. Matthew 11, verse 16. Jesus says this, but what shall I compare this generation? Meaning like to what shall I compare all y'all, everybody? And he says, it's like this. It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to their playmates, we played the flute for you, woo, like happy stuff, and you did not dance. And then we sang a dirge, melancholy song, and you did not mourn. I just want to linger here for a little bit. One, because I never get the opportunity to play guitar in front of people, and you're a captive audience, so I'm going to take the opportunity. Here essentially is what Jesus is saying to them. I don't want to stretch this guy too far here. Okay, are you guys ready? Am I on? Is that good? Can you hear me? Because I can't hear it through the house at all, but that's okay. Okay, so here's what Jesus is saying in context, and we'll get to the context. He says, John the Baptist came on the scene, And John the Baptist said, like, we're messed up. Our hearts are broken. It's hard for me to play guitar and talk at the same time, so I'm going to try to do this. We're riddled with sin, all of us. And the Lord is doing so many cool things, and we're not able to hear it. And John the Baptist is like straight, like melancholy. Like, we're missing the Father, and that's sad. And John's laying down these minor dirge-oriented chords. He's just out in the wilderness playing this thing. Anybody crying yet? I'm about ready to get there, because this is deep. John the Baptist is laying this tune out there, and then Jesus says, but y'all are dancing and singing and woo, party time, it's all awesome. And there's a disconnect between what the Father is doing right now through John the prophet, laying down this melancholy repentance message, but nobody is joining in. Jesus says, that's what this generation is like. And then what Jesus then says next is like this. He says, and then after John lays down these minor chords of we got to repent so we don't miss this, then he says, Jesus shows up on the scene. And that's like awesome because he's healing people. And then he's delivering people from like the demonic. He's hanging out with kids. And it's awesome. He's like teaching and like people are being made whole. It's like, wow, like the party is here. Jubilee is being pronounced. The freedom of favor of the Lord is now here. And the Lord, like Jesus is playing this song. The Father is playing this song through Jesus. And then everyone's like, oh no, it's horrible. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. And everyone's like down in the gutters and they're not able to enter in to the song that the Father is playing. Jesus says, that is what this generation is like. And what a shame. Attunement. Anybody heard the word attunement before? Attunement is the psychological and relational term that essentially, I think, means the same thing as tuning in to the right radio station. What Jesus is saying is, all y'all are not attuned or in tune with the Father. He's laying some stuff down, and whether it's the minor chords or the majors, whether it's the dirge or the happy song, everything the Father lays down is good, but we're all missing it. Jesus says you're not attuned or tuned in to what the Father is doing. And Jesus would say it this way in John 5:19. Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son, Jesus, can do nothing of his own accord, but only, check this out, this is attunement. This is being tuned in right here. Jesus says, the Son, I can't do anything on my own accord, but only what I see the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, happy songs, sad songs, healing, delivering, feeding, whatever the Father does, Jesus says, that the Son does likewise. And then Jesus continues, and you can't see this, but for the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing. The Father loves the Son, and because the Father loves the Father shows the Son what he is doing. And as the Father does all these things, Jesus being attuned or in tune on the same wavelength or frequency with his Father has a sense for what the Father is doing, and then Jesus fluidly enters in and joins. We're talking about influence. Our influence in the world, and all of us have influence. Wouldn't it be absolutely amazing if each and every one of us were tuned into the Father's frequency, we were relationally attuned with Him, and we could see what He's doing, not only in us, but we could actually learn to see what He's doing around us. And then if we could join the Father in what He is doing, in the song that He's laying down for unique and individual people, imagine the effect that that would have. If our influence in the lives of each other matched what the Father was seeking to do in all of us, how powerful that would be, as compared to each of us seeking to use our influence over and with others according to what I want to see happen in you. Because my desires and what I want in you and for you is not always in line with, or at least in step with, what the Father wants for you. It's easy for us to be tuned into or attuned to my wants and your wants. It's kind of also a little bit easy for us to be attuned with what the people around us want. But the invitation that Jesus is giving us is to be more so attuned to what the Father wants so that we can actually influence and serve each other well. The only way for the kingdom to come on earth as in heaven is if we each submit to what the Father wants and seek to serve the Father's desires in each other. And the only way for us to do that is to be attuned with, relationally tuned into the frequency of the Father above and beyond all other frequencies around us. And so we might say to that, like, of course Jesus would say that. He is the unique Son of the Father who pre-existed with the Father for all eternity past, who is God, very God, who has clothed Himself in humanity. Of course, Jesus can say that He is supposed to attune to the Father. He's always been doing that. And we could say then, that's for Jesus, and it's easy for Him to do that. We've got to figure out a different way. This isn't necessarily for us. But remember, we talked about this early in 2025. We looked at the Sermon on the Mount, and the statement that we made was that God invites us to attune to Him in a variety of relational contexts. He's our deliverer, He's our shepherd, He's our friend, He's our savior. He is all of those things, and we ought to attune to Him in all of those relational ways. But the primary way, the relationship that we have with God that is the paradigmatic, most important relationship we have is that He is our Father and we are His sons and His daughters, and He wants us to see Him and be connected and attuned to Him as our Father who is in heaven. That's how He teaches us to pray. And He says, when you ask your Father for things, He says, Father, here's what I need. And then Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, like, if you ask a good father for a piece of bread, no good father is going to give you a stone. If you ask a good father for some fish, that father will never give you a snake and say, ha ha, right? So Jesus teaches us that He is the unique Son of the Father, but He says, y'all also, right, in a different way, but you are also, if you're in Jesus, you are in the family, which means you are primarily sons and daughters of the Father, and so we have to attune relationally, not to God, or like however the great old preachers would have said it, we attune to Him as Dad. It's very different. There is a place for reverence and awe, absolutely, but we are reverencing and awing Dad. That's how God wants us to attune and to connect to Him. Now, here's what I want us to see. And this illustration hit me this week, and I hope it's helpful. I think it will be. There's a cataclysmic difference between us having an attuned relationship with the Father and then us as Christians having a relationship with what we'll call doctrine. Doctrine is a body of beliefs, systematic theology, if you will. Huge difference between us having an attuned, we're tuned in relationship with our Father, and then having a relation, and versus having just a relationship with doctrine or understanding right things about God. Huge difference. Now, here's how I want to try to help make that land home for us. Imagine, so Megan and I have got 5 kids, and that's a lot sometimes. It's awesome. Love it. But 5 kids, they need a lot of attention. And it is Megan and my responsibility to mold and shape and fashion them. And we're excited to do that. And so what if Megan and I got to the point where we said, wow, this is such a huge responsibility to mold and shape and fashion these 5 kids. We're going to need a little help in the process. And so what if Megan and I went out and we hired an influencer to join us? And so now, like, we don't have to go to YouTube to get influenced by people. We hired the influencer to come in. And then, so now let's say that we've got this influencer who's living in our house, and their job description is to join Megan and I as influencing agents in molding and shaping and fashioning our kids to the ends that Megan and I want them molded, shaped, and fashioned. And so that's the job description for the influencer, and the influencer signs on, and we think they're quality, and we say, all right, let's do it. Day number one starts with the influencer in our house. They're going to join Megan and I in shaping our kids. And I say the night before, I say, hey, welcome to the team, Team Influence Kids. And then here's what I lay down. I say to the influencer, I say, here's what you need to know. The kids right now are coming off of, let's say it's May, okay? It's not August, it's May. I would say to the influencer, the kids are coming off of a long school year, and they've been working hard, and they've been putting in the time and the energy and the effort, and they're tired. And in addition to that, they just finished a grueling track season, and their bodies are a little bit broken down, and they're tired. And so just want you to know that's where we're at right now. And so given where we're at, what Megan and I would like to do is we'd like to take the next 10 days, and we want the next 10 days to be restful and fun. Fun and restful, because that's what we need. So, professional influencer, join us in the fun, rest, fun. And then tomorrow, what that means is let them sleep in a little bit, and then let them know after they slept in to pack their bags, because we got a family trip and we're going somewhere awesome. All right, high five to the influencer, and then I go to bed and everybody in the house goes to bed. And then imagine this, at 6:30 in the morning, I hear whistle. That's the best whistle sound I can make. And I look out my window, and what I see is I see the influencer on our hill with our kids, and our kids are running wind sprints up and down the hill. I'm like scratching my head, and I'm thinking, what did I feel like I was talking to the influencer last night, and they were looking at me, and I feel like I explained the hard school year and the track season, and hey, it's going to be 10 days of rest, fun rest. Let them sleep in, and then we're going on a fun trip. But it's 6:30, and I see them running hills, and the influencer is like driving them up and down the hill. Like, am I going crazy? Well, so I go outside, and I say, excuse me, influencer, come over here, let's talk. And I say, like, what's going on? What are we doing here? And then imagine, the influencer says this. Well, last night, Brian, I went back and I listened to an old Garden City message that you gave. And the message that you gave, it was so good, because they all are. Right? Okay, thanks for joining me in that. Okay, so I say that the message was so good, and the message that you gave that I listened to last night, now we're in doctrine territory. And they say, the message you gave was that as parents with kids, kids need discipline and they need structure. And if you just give them what they want, it's not going to be good for them. So you got to give them what they need. And that's what a good parent does. And let's say that I laid that message out 2 years ago. And let's agree that that's a part of my doctrine as a parent. I believe that. I totally believe that. But here's what the influencer missed. Yes, that is a part of my doctrine, but right now, what I'm saying is in this moment, the song that I'm playing with my kids is rest and fun and rest, and you're choosing my doctrine over what I'm saying. Because my doctrine is bigger than just discipline kids and make them do things they don't want to do and work them when they don't want to. I'm overstating. But my doctrine is more than that. It includes that, but it's more than that. And so many times, like, we are tuned into our systematic theology. We are tuned into and attuned to right thinking about God, but it is entirely possible to be tuned into doctrine and have your systematic theology buttoned up all perfect and to absolutely miss out on the Father right here saying, here's what I'm doing right now, and I'd love for you to join me. Sleep in. Go on vacation. Eat too much food. Have fun. Play games, right? The Father is inviting us into that for the next 10 days, and we're out running hills because we know that that's what the Father disciplines. He wants us to do things we don't want to do. Does that make sense? Is that okay? It's landed on me. I hope it's making sense. So here's the point is that Jesus is inviting us not into a relationship with doctrine. Doctrine is necessary and it is important. But beyond that, Jesus says, the Father is laying stuff down all the time, and he's doing different things. And it all fits in with his character and who he is. Like, it's in the doctrinal camp. Like, all the things that come out in his leading us forward, we can trust that it's all in the scriptures and it's there. But the only way for us to know what he's doing right now so that we can join in is to be attuned relationally to him and with him, to be on the right radio frequency that he is on, because that's where the amazing stuff happens. And let's just be honest for a second. It is not easy for us to tune in to what the Father is doing relationally. It's not an easy thing for us sometimes. Check this out in Matthew 11, right? I read to you, to what shall I compare this generation? It's like children sitting in the marketplace and they're missing out on the song, right? Before that, here's the context. Matthew 11, verse 2. Now, when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, or the king, John the Baptist, who's in prison, sends word by his disciples and says to Jesus, Jesus, are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? Jesus, are you the Messiah or are you not the Messiah? John is the cousin of Jesus. He has known the miraculous stories of angelic visitations. He knows about him leaping in the belly of his mom when he was in proximity to Jesus in Mary's womb. He knows all that stuff. He's pretty clear. Jesus is the Messiah. But he's asking the question, Jesus, here I am in prison. Are you the one, or should we be waiting or looking for another maybe? John the Baptist essentially is going like, what about me? What's going on here is that John the Baptist is struggling with what the Father is doing. John's in prison. He's got a minor chord song that's going on in his life right now. It's sad. He doesn't like it. And there's lots of other frequencies or messages or radio stations sending out other messages around him that you could tune into. If you tuned in to what most good people were saying, most of the good people in Israel in the first century would be saying, hey, John's in prison, but it's okay. Jesus is the Messiah. John's going to get out of prison soon, and Jesus is going to kill Herod. That's on the radio station that is like the most popular. That's what all good first century Jewish people are saying. Jesus is going to set John free. Herod's going to die. The radio frequency that John is on, he's listening to that one. And he's also in the place where John's sending out the message, I hate prison, I hate prison, I hate prison. Jesus, do you hear me? Jesus, when are you going to set me free? When are you going to set me free? When are you going to set me free? And John feels like that message he's sending is falling on deaf ears. So he sends his disciples, hey, Jesus, do you hear my I don't want to be in prison anymore. And if you listen, everybody's saying that you're probably like, you should deliver me and kill Herod. Let's get on that ASAP. And so what Jesus does in Matthew 11 is then he goes on to critique the religious leaders and to say, by and large, most people are not tuned into what the Father is doing. The Father does a minor chord, everybody dances and sings. The Father does a major chord song, and everybody's weeping and gnashing their teeth. Most of us are not able to hear what the Father is saying. And as Jesus says that to the generation, John's disciples are there, and they're just turning around to start to make their way back to John, and they're hearing Jesus say this. And as John's disciples go back, it's as if Jesus is saying through his disciples to John in prison, John, I know where you're at. I've been intimately aware and acquainted with your suffering in the prison. What the Father is doing with you right now, it's a minor chord song. And I can't sweep in with a I can't do that because the Father is not inviting me into that right now. And John, if I'm just inviting you, unlike this generation who's not tuned into the Father, John, I'm reminding you that you of all people, the prophet of the ages, John, I need you to tune into what the Father's doing. Because when you're tuned into what the Father's doing, you're not going to send your disciples to me to ask if I'm the Messiah, because you already know that I am. And you're not going to sit in prison languishing, thinking that God has forgotten you and that I don't see you. No, he is tuned into you there. And he's singing a minor chord song with you right now. But in order for you to join in with what he is doing and how he is with you, you've got to tune in to him. Don't listen to the frequency of the people that say you're getting out and Herod's dying. Don't listen to your own frequency that says this is horrible and I shall not be here. Listen to what the Father is doing and join him there, because good things are coming. And the Father's with you now. John says, are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? And then Jesus says, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And then he says this, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me. Blessed is the one who is on the radio station of the Father and just receives it with faith and trust and joy and is not offended by the message and what the Father is sending out. That's where we're invited to be. And from that place, only in that place, can we actually have influence on the people around us that really and truly and absolutely serves them well, because it aligns with what the Father is seeking to do in them. So I'll just say it again here. Let us not be the people who chase after influence as an end in itself. Let us not be the people who gauge our identity and worth and value based upon how many people like us or listen to us or are molded by us. It's a fool's errand. Let us be the ones who attune to the Father and abide with him and trust him, and then from that place walk with him and join him in all the things that he shows us that he is doing around us and says, join me. That's when the kingdom breaks in. Worship team, come on back up. I'm gonna pray for us. I would love to see us become a mightily influential people, secondarily, but primarily. Wouldn't it be great if Garden City Church, if we were the attuned ones, if we just walked with the Father intimately, abidingly, and then from that place, influence just happens, not because we're trying to make it happen, but because people are blessed and they say, I want more of that. Let's pray. Father in heaven, you say wherever two or three are gathered, there you are. And you also say that we as individuals are your temple. We're your abiding place. And so, Father, you've made it very clear that we ought never wonder where you are, because you, because of Jesus, have made a way to draw close to us, and you father us well. Father, we don't know how to attune to you. We don't know how to get onto your frequency. But Father, the good news is that you have sent your Spirit, your very presence, and you have promised to tutor us and to guide us and to shepherd us in the way that leads to life. And the way that leads to life is by keeping in step with you and walking with you. Father, we want to have good and right doctrine, but more than that, or as a stepping stone from that, Father, we want to be attuned to you. So would you help us to become more aware of you? Help us to attune, to know that we're seen, to know that we're loved, and draw us close, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.